Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. All right, here's my Sunday school experience. I think it was pretty typical. All through my childhood years, my family was very regular church-going family, and we were also Sunday school-going kids. That meant on Sunday, Mom and Dad went to Bible class, and all the kids, there were five of us boys, we all went to Sunday school, regardless of how old we were or whether it was raining or shining or snowing. It didn't make any difference. We went to Sunday school. What happened there? Well, I didn't know until later, but very often the stories, the Bible stories that I learned in Sunday school were not the stories in the Bible, not really the stories in the Bible. They'd had, oh, some of the rough edges knocked off. They were a little more romantic than the stories in the Bible, and there were some details left out, too. Now, I know that those who wrote the Sunday school curriculum, my Sunday school teachers, they meant well, but I wonder sometimes whether or not Sunday school really taught me the Bible. And one thing was also missing, something very important, an emphasis on Jesus Christ as my Savior. I learned a lot of moral lessons. And that wasn't bad in and of itself, but was it really telling me the message of Holy Scripture? We're going to talk about Sunday school tonight on Issues Etc. I want to hear from you about your Sunday school experience as a Sunday school teacher, a student like mine, or if you've got a kid who's in Sunday school, if you're a parent of a Sunday school student. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's April the 23rd. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, listeners with the best questions and comments will get a sample kit of the new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. We'll talk about it just a little bit tonight. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest this evening joins us here in Studio A, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, and she has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So what do you think is missing from most Sunday school curriculum today?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
What has rushed in to fill the void left by kind of this, I would say, Christ-centered, cross-focused emphasis in Sunday school? What's rushed in to fill that void? What's being taught instead, do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern about just keeping kids in Sunday school. There's a lot of things competing with children's time on Sunday mornings. And so Sunday schools have tried every kind of gimmick and thing under the sun to entertain, to draw children in. There's always a concern that we raise children up to be good boys and girls. And that kind of moralism, trying to use Scripture to make them into good Christian boys and girls, often rushes in and fills it. But really, a lot of the problem today, I think, is entertainment theology, just trying to make it fun so they're there, and hopefully they'll catch something. So there's a lot of fun and games.
So the emphasis is on keeping the kids entertained, mm-hmm. keeping them busy, and what lacks is substance, and in mm-hmm. particular, the kind of the gospel substance mm-hmm. that ought to be there. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about that moralism you mentioned there. This view that that Christianity is, at its very essence, the do's and the don'ts, the morals of the Christian faith. How has it influenced Sunday school? What's the mindset behind kind of the moralistic nature of Sunday school curricula?
Well, I think Sunday school has its roots in that approach to Sunday school, because it did not start within the church. It did not start within Lutheranism or any of the mainline denominations. It was a lay-led movement coming out of England, well-intentioned people seeing children who had no school to go to, who had no nobody looking after them. They're running wild on the streets. And so let's bring them in. Let's give them some reading, writing, and arithmetic. And let's give them some religion and will make them useful for society and productive human beings who know some religion. And that really was the roots of Sunday school, crossed the pond to America and really exploded here on the frontier as our country moved west and Sunday school unions formed, again, outside of denominations, but good-intentioned people.
So the goal was to kind of get kids on the straight and narrow. Give us an example, kind of modern day, of what a moralistic Sunday school curriculum would do with a typical Bible story, David versus Goliath, or some other Old Testament story that they spend so much time in. How would the moralistic influence be seen there?
Well, you'd focus on the Bible character, more on him and his actions, his great faith, how he obeyed God or didn't obey God, and how we shouldn't be like him or we should be like him. And you wouldn't spend much time talking about Christ or even finding a Christ connection in that. But David was an obedient boy, or he was a good leader, and we can learn from that and improve our lives as Christian people.
Another influence that kind of came along, we'll talk about the history in just a minute, but that came along with Sunday school was pietism, this notion that what really matters is the subjective experience of the Christian faith. Am I truly sorry for my sins? Do I really feel forgiven? And if I don't, I might not be. How has that found its way into Sunday school curriculum?
Well, I think the whole experiential thing, in an effort to make the Bible personal and real, so that it's not just a history book, a book of facts of people, places, dates, but something that matters for individuals in their lives as Christians in this world. Pietism has crept in, and it's just like moralism. It's a focus on the person and what they do, whether it be to follow the rules or to deeply feel the faith and experience it. Both of those take your eyes off of Jesus as the Savior, for a person who can't save themselves. And so it's misdirected.
So with a story like, say, David versus Goliath, the emphasis would be on how did David feel going up against how did he feel after he defeated this, more upon the subjective than upon the objective truth of Scripture?
I think the feelings and what kind of faith he had, how strong was his faith that he could stand up against Goliath, and not seeing faith as something that God gives us and strengthens in us, but something that we have and we decide to have, and it comes out of us, which is completely opposite of what it is.
Well, somebody might say, Pam, and we've only got about 30 seconds here, they'd say, look, I know what you're talking about with the moralism. You know, we shouldn't teach, just make it do's and don'ts, but we need to talk about these kids and connect them with those Bible characters. And the best way to do that is to say, look, David was afraid. Maybe you're afraid. David conquered. And look at how you're going to feel when you conquer, too. What's wrong with that kind of pietistic approach?
Well, I don't think it's wrong to relate a child to David being afraid and them being afraid. But it's how you conclude that for them. Well, David conquered this. No. Christ conquered this. God conquered this for David. He was with him through this. He gave him the strength. Christ is with you in your baptism, and the Holy Spirit works faith in you, and you are never alone in this world. Your Savior is there to save you from your sin, and he walks with you in this life. And that's an important message, I think, for children. But again, putting the focus back on Christ as our Savior from sin, not just our buddy.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. I want to hear from you on Sunday School. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address. We can take your questions and your comments that way as well. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program, and our number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You know, at this point, someone might be saying, come on, Sunday school, we're talking about children. You know, you can't teach children deep theology. Keep it simple for them, where they can relate to it. I know that people are saying that. Well, can you teach children the depth of the Christian faith at their level? And can you make the emphasis Jesus Christ for sinners with these children? Well, I guess if we think our kids need Jesus less than us grown-up sinners, we might. But the reason they need Jesus as much as we do, the reason they need that Christ-centered cross focus, is because they're sinners just like us. And they need to know that it is the forgiveness of sins that they find there in Scripture that testify of Jesus Christ. When we come back, more on Sunday School with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the goals for the young men who attend Christ Academy 2006.
Christ Academy allows high school men to become a full, equal partner in the life of the seminary for 2 weeks every June. They attend chapel 4 times a day with the student body and faculty and staff. They go to classes for 3 or 4 hours a day, regular classes taught by the seminary faculty and staff. They become tight as a community and join together in prayer and greater understanding of Lutheran theology.
For more information about Christ Academy 2006 on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155. That's issuesetc.org or 1-800-481-2155.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Did you know that Easter isn't just a Sunday? It's a season of 50 days leading up to Pentecost. And I have a favor to ask. Would you please prayerfully consider making a special Easter gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc.? For a gift of any size to Issues, Etc., during the great 50 days of Easter, we're going to send you a CD of our interview with Dr. Arthur Just on the Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. For a donation of $50 to Issues, Etc., from now until the end of May, we'll send you a CD with several Easter hymns. And for a gift to Issues, Etc., of $100 or more during the Easter season, we'll send you an autographed copy of Dr. Paul Meyer's book, In the Fullness of Time. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to be broadcasting live from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. Looking forward to being up there. Our topic will be the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Our guest, Dr. Richard Schuette of Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of our News Talk 1400 listeners in Detroit live next Sunday night from 10 until midnight at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. I know it's late, but we'll be staying up, and you can come and stay up with us. For more information about our Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour coming to Detroit next week, check out our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there, be sure to find out more about our monthly donor program. It's called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. And you can find out how to support this worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by becoming an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer. Reformation Club benefits include things like tapes and books and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, issuesetc.org. We're talking about Sunday School. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones. Listening on WYLL in Johnsburg, Illinois, Sean is on the line. Sean, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Cool. Well, Colin, I completely and utterly agree with you guys on how you're saying that we don't focus on God as our Jesus as the Savior and Redeemer of our sins, that we more focus on as He is a teacher, and that we should, when we're teaching the kids, that we should focus on the characters and what they did and try and relate that to the kids, instead of what we should be doing is teaching them that Jesus is our Savior and died for our sins.
Hey, Sean, what was your Sunday school experience like, if any at all? What was it like?
Well, my experience was I went to Sunday school for quite a while, and when we were learning all this stuff, we mainly focused on when we were little was we just focused on some of the stories. We never really got into the Gospels or anything like that. We stayed in like David and Goliath. We learned a lot about. Like, they stayed on that for quite a while, and they just tried to relate how, you know, they tried to relate us with David and saying, you know, David, like how David was scared when he was initially going up against the giant because, you know, it's a scary thing, and it's kind of like us going into the world is a scary thing, but as long as we have, you know, faith that we will be, you know, able to get through it all.
Sean, thanks for your call, and thanks for listening up there in Johnsburg. Stay on hold. I'm going to send you a sample kit of Growing in Christ. It's a new Sunday school curriculum, and thanks for the call. Okay, his experience is lots of emphasis on the stories, and it sounds like a lot of emphasis on the Old Testament stories. There's a lot of fodder there. Why do you think the Sunday school curricula tend to gravitate toward the Old Testament stories, Pam?
Well, I think they're exciting. You know, Red Seas parting and clouds leading people through the wilderness and little boys felling giants with a couple of stones. These are hero stories. They're the kind of thing that kids read about in legends, myths. I mean, it's larger than life stuff. It is. But the thing is, this isn't a myth. It's not a legend. It's true. And it wasn't just for that moment in history, some cool story that we could read later on, but it was all part of God's plan of revealing and bringing forth salvation for sinful mankind. It began in the garden and culminated in Christ on the cross. And if you don't teach it in that context, then it is just a larger-than-life hero story. Cool, but what does it mean in our lives?
One of my pet peeves is that when those stories were taught, and I'm glad they are because it's part of biblical literacy, when those stories were taught, either from Old Testament or New Testament, they were sanitized, at least in my Sunday school experience. David may have felled the giant, but there was no blood. Samson may have gone out and slew a thousand without blood somehow. And the kind of nastier episodes, be it Old Testament or New Testament. And in particular with regard to Jesus, we're left out. Jesus was sanitized to the point of being a very boring Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
talk about that,
bear.
The romanticism in Sunday school curricula.
Well, I think that's been a problem for a long time. We don't want to upset children. It kind of goes along with what's going on in education. You kind of want to protect kids and you don't want to upset them with the realities of life. They have a whole lifetime to experience that. But what is reality is that children do live in this sinful world. They do experience brokenness and hurt and violence and hatred. And if we don't teach scriptures and how God dealt with those things and how Christ came for that sin as well, and if we don't show what Christ did on the cross in its fullness, we give them an empty religion and nothing really to face the sin that is in their lives every day by living in this world, in their families, in America, on this globe, because they're not sheltered from that. Children get sick, children die, they suffer. Children live in families that are broken apart by divorce and violence. Children are victims of violence on the streets of America. I think about children in war zones. They see lots of brutal stuff. And if Jesus is always a teddy bear and soft and rosy-cheeked, he's no Jesus for them.
So these kids live a real life. They need the real Jesus, the one that really is there in the pages of Scripture.
That's right.
With all of his rough edges and all. You know, I think a kid might wonder nowadays, because they're so much more sophisticated than we were when we were kids. They might wonder, if this Jesus is this bland and milquetoast, can he really save me?
That's right.
And is he really dependable? And when he makes a promise, I'm wondering whether or not there it could be, tell me if I'm going too far,
This could jeopardize children's faith to present this kind of sanitized Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's a turnoff to kids. What good is he? How is he any different than their teddy bear that sits on their bed at night? What can he do for them if he's not real and suffered our sin for us, and that they understand that he suffered and died? What does that mean? On the cross, he bore the sins of the world, was forsaken by God. So I just think that's so incredibly important. Now, of course, you're not going to give the full story, I guess, to a three-year-old. You talk about suffering and dying. They probably don't even know what those words mean. They're going to grow into them. But I don't think you you do it once over easy or lightly. You grow them in this and build on their knowledge and their ability to understand. But they've got to know the real Savior and what he really saves them from.
You know, if you have a sanitized Jesus, folks, who walks around saying nice things to people and doing nice things for people and is just basically there helping everyone, kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost, it's a hard time explaining to kids why he had to go to that cross and why he had to shed his blood and die a real death for them. Let's give our kids the real Jesus. Folks, we are sending out the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. It's going to the printer this week. I've written an article titled James 2:24, Not by Faith Alone. Do Paul and James disagree on justification by faith? What did James mean when he said that faith without works is dead? Well, you can find out in the next Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you free, 1-800-737-0172. Call during this break. That's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, and ask to receive a complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Sunday School. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, and CPH has a new Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. We're giving away a sample kit of that curriculum to our best callers or emailers, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't feel that way about you.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, responding to the idea that the AIDS crisis is self-inflicted and Christians need not respond in love.
Look, you reap what you sow. You're a sinner. You're damned to hell. Go rot. That's not Jesus. And the Bible doesn't tell us, Jesus says, you made your bed, now lie in it. I'm not going to help. So, That's an impossible response for a Christian, even though we know that actions have consequences. Those consequences don't kill mercy and don't kill a proclamation of the law in order to bring the gospel.
Find LCMS World Relief at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused love for the neighbor.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do Paul and James disagree on justification by faith? What did James mean when he wrote, faith without works is dead? And if a person lacks works, what's James' solution? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. Journal on the subject of James and faith. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. regular guest Uwe Simonetto has also written an article on the subject of racial segregation in the church, 1-800-737-0172. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Robert Schreckheiss's journey from the subjective experience of Pentecostalism to the objective truth of the Reformation, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. I was sitting in this very studio earlier this week, or late last week, I can't remember what it is. It is Sunday, isn't it? Yes, it was late last week with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, and he have just come back from South Africa and Kenya, and he was telling me a success story. Now, this didn't sound like a big thing to you and me, but think about this. There's a group of about 40 orphans. Most of them orphaned their parents long dead from AIDS. And these kids had been living, most of them, their entire lives in a mud hut. Smaller than the studio I'm sitting in right now, with nothing. He said a grass mat in the corner to sleep on. Well, with the generous support of people like you who have donated LCMS World Relief, they were able to raise enough money to build these kids a real live orphanage, 24 cots. The kids now live in a clean facility. Never before in their lives have they had this. And one of these kids walked up to Matt when he was there in Kenya and said, "We thank you and we thank our Lord Jesus Christ that you considered us to be human." Now that's amazing. And that's what your relief dollars do through LCMS World Relief. It's a relief agency concerned with both body and soul. You can help support efforts just like this all around the world through LCMS World Relief. Their phone number, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. Or you can find more about LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, LCMS World Relief. It's Sunday night, April the 23rd. Let's hear from you about your experience with Sunday school as a student, as a teacher, as a parent of a student. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Now, you gave us a brief taste of this a few minutes ago, but give us kind of the history of Sunday school. I think a lot of Christians think, well, it's been with us as long as the church has been around, but that's not true. How recent is the development of what we call Sunday school?
Sunday school comes to us in the late 1700s, early 1800s. It was a movement started by kind and well-intentioned lay people in England. Specifically, the father of modern-day Sunday school is Robert Raikes, who scooped up children who were running amok on the streets of England and put them in a school setting, wanted to give them some education and some religion. He did that. It was successful. Society saw this as a good thing. It became something that started cropping up all over Europe. But really, when it came across the ocean to America and this growing country with all these European transplants, it became a movement that exploded. And people took this on the frontier. Lots of stories of Sunday schools forming and Sunday school unions of lay people coming together and forming their own materials and coming up with their own rules about what Sunday school would be. And interesting, all this was going on at a very rapid pace outside of the mainstream churches. Many times these people were members of the mainline denominations, but this was something they did outside of that. It wasn't begun by over, nor was it overseen by any of the mainstream churches.
So was the curricula, were the curricula originally like almost like remedial school and Bible class?
Yes,
kind of a thing?
A lot of Bible history, Bible facts, with the intention to make these children grow up to be good, fine citizens, good people in the society.
I guess I got to ask, before Sunday school, how did kids learn their Bibles? How did they learn the basics of the Christian faith?
Well, I think you go back to Deuteronomy, where parents are told to speak with their children as they walk along the way and to talk about their Lord and the things that he's done. You read in Timothy where he talks about from infancy he's known the Holy Scriptures and he knows from whom he's learned it. Parents are the first line in conjunction with the church, but who spends the time with the children from infancy on has the greatest influence on them, and that is their parents. And that has been the tradition, I think, of the church, that parents teach them, bring them to church, and raise them up in the family of God and in being part of the church in worship. They learn. The Lutheran tradition is that we, and a lot of other faiths as well, to teach the doctrines of our church in an intentional way, catechesis that the church sponsors. That goes back to the early church where families and catechumens were taught the basics of the Christian faith in order to be baptized, in order to come into the faith. And so it's kind of been a dual thing, but focused a lot on teaching the doctrine through the scriptures and the scriptures and doctrine together.
Let's talk about the proper goals of Sunday school. So we have Sunday school, and we make the best of it now. It's kind of woven into the fabric of the average mm-hmm. congregation, so we want to do it as well as we can. What are the proper goals? You talked about some improper goals, like just keeping the kids busy or entertaining mm-hmm. them, or just bringing them in just so they'd be in. What should be the proper goals of Sunday school?
I think, first and foremost, to teach children the scriptures with Christ as the central focus, to show our man's need for a sinner, their individual need, or for a savior, their individual need to be saved from sin, death, and the devil. So you start at Genesis with the creation of the world, the fall into sin, and you teach children the whole of scriptures and how God worked in time and history through sinful human beings to bring salvation to the world, ultimately in Christ. And so you see all those Old Testament stories foreshadowing Christ, pointing to Christ, and the New Testament, Christ here with us incarnate, his miracles, not just big moments in time, but pointing to him as the Son of God, the Savior from sin. And that has to be the constant message in every Sunday school lesson. If that isn't what children walk away with, knowing that Christ is their Savior, they can't save themselves, then we really haven't given them what they need for eternity. And we only get a little bit of time every week with children in Sunday school.
You mentioned that Christ is missing from many Sunday school curricula. Could it also go hand in hand with the fact that, in essence, sin is missing from a lot of mm-hmm. Sunday school curriculum? Now it's mistakes, boo-boos, errors in judgment, kind of minor taboos, but not sin in all of its stark clarity.
That's right. The bad things that we do or say, I think that's a sign of the times, because there's really no wrong, is there, in society? You turn on TV, everything's okay. Whatever feels good to a man, he does it. And we're not to judge in those things. And that has affected the church, and it has affected how we teach children. And that is something we need to fight against, because sin, the wages of sin is death. And all the way to little infants who die in the womb, we know that sin is part of our lives. And we can't discount it. And to discount it is to say, well, you don't sin that much, your sin isn't really that bad, or not to talk about sin is, then why do we need a Savior? Why bother talking about Jesus if we don't sin?
What about the goal of connecting these young children who may be sitting after the Sunday school hour or before the Sunday school hour with mom and dad in church, connecting them to what's going on there on the Lord's Day in the house of worship, even though some of it, in the younger ones, maybe most of it, might be going over their head? Talk about making that connection to the life of the church, to the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments, the life, the worship life of the church, too.
That's a very important part, I think, of Sunday school, because Sunday school isn't its own end. It isn't its own entity, and it certainly isn't a competition for the worship service. The worship service is where all of God's people gather, the young, the old, the rich, the poor. We all come together there to hear the word, to receive the sacraments, the gifts of heaven, and that is the fullest expression of the church here on earth, and that is where our life comes from, in receiving the word and sacraments. So Sunday school ought to draw its life from that worship service. It ought to model it, prepare children for their life in the family of God, and point them right back to that, so that they understand the things they're learning in Sunday school help them to be part of the family of God. And so some of the things that we do in Sunday school are to teach children about worship and how we worship and why we worship, and to prepare them so that's not a foreign place, but that's a comfortable place, because they've been taught some of the things that we do there, and they don't have to sit there looking around with blank stares on their face. This is for them, too, because God's word comes to them in the worship service.
Folks, we're giving away a sample kit of Growing in Christ. It's a new Sunday school curriculum to listeners with the best questions and comments, or with the best story to tell about a Sunday school experience I know. Driving home from church, the kids always have something in their hands. You know, they're bringing something home from Sunday school. Have you looked at what your kids are bringing home on Sunday morning? What they have there in the back seat with them that they've gotten from their Sunday school class? We'll give away this sample kit to our best callers, 1-800-730-2727, or our best emailers, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. In this kit, you're going to have a DVD. There's sample curricula from all the age levels, and we're not just talking about the little kids. We're talking about up through junior high, high school?
Up through junior high,
and for those of you who want to blast from the past, us boomers, there's even a ViewMaster in there with some of the art, beautiful, realistic art. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Julie Stiegemeyer is a mom and the author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Mommy Promises. Julie, why would this make a good Mother's Day gift?
It's a sharing book. It's child-friendly, but it also speaks to the adult. And that's one thing you want to be careful of when you're writing children's books. You want to make sure this is actually for the kids. I think it worked out to be a nice balance of those two things. It would be a great, I think, something really nice for new moms, just to they could think about and share with their child as the child grows older. I also think it would be a nice gift for kids. So it's kind of for moms and their children.
Mommy Promises is a great children's book. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the book at our website, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You are listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton, Dr. Gary Habermas, and I invite you to attend the 10th Annual European Summer Study of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. The Academy will be held July the 11th through the 22nd next summer in Strasbourg, France. For more information, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll send you a free brochure, 1-800-737-0172. Improve your abilities to defend the faith and teach the truth by attending the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July the 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France. For more information, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc.org. We hope to see you there. Concerned about a shortage of faithful pastors in the church? Well, you might consider sending a young man from your congregation to Christ Academy 2006 on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, what Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged young men, high school-aged men. We start them early, and it's a great opportunity for them to get an experience in seminary life, just a taste of it for those 2 weeks during the summer. They can, as students in the classroom, explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Now, Christ Academy takes place this summer, June the 18th through July the 1st, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find information there on Christ Academy, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, and ask about Christ Academy 2006. Okay, I want to talk about this curriculum, Growing in Christ, but to get there, I'll tell you what impresses me the most from what I've seen. It's the art. Because, and I've talked about this in sermon after sermon, I don't know how many times, Pam. My view of the Bible story, of Jesus, of the saints of the Old Testament, was shaped more by the pictures in the Sunday school books than anything the teacher ever said. So I have this picture of Jesus with this noble look on his face. He's like Mr. Spock in long hair and a beard. But he's nice, but he's pretty much non-emotional, and he's very aquiline. And this picture sticks with me of Jesus rather than what the teacher said. And it strikes me a lot of the art that I was exposed to in Sunday school was just unrealistic. What have you guys done, consciously done, by way of the pictures that you leave with these kids in Sunday school in Growing in Christ?
Well, that's one of the things we're most excited about. We've put a lot of energy, and our art team at CPH has worked hours and tirelessly on in finding artists who can do this. We have set out to have a painting, a realistic Bible art painting for every story that we're going to cover in the 3 years of this curriculum. So over 130 new Bible art paintings, and the editors have sat down with the text, and we've written art direction for the artists. So we don't leave it to them. We set the context for them. We review it with Bible scholars that work at Concordia Publishing House to make sure it's accurate. But we are trying to capture the moment, the gospel moment, if you will, of the story, the God action in the story. And so these pictures are alive. Things are going on in them, and they look like real people in real places. They're not cartooned. They're not caricatured. They're not Disney-esque. They look real. And so, you know, we think it's very important that when we teach a story, a Bible story to a child, and we say this was really David, this was Moses, this was Peter or Paul, that the picture conveys that realism and that reality and doesn't confuse it with something that looks false.
So the kids learn as much from what appears to be real or unreal in the Sunday school curriculum.
yeah.
than they do from the teacher saying, now, this really did happen, but sometimes if it's depicted as a cartoon, the kids say, that's no more real than what I saw on
the
Cartoon Network.
That's right. Yeah, we live in such a graphic visual society. Everything is, you know, a feast for our eyes, good things and bad things. And so much of what is fed to children is fake. And it's not just the cartoony thing. One of the other things we discovered in this art was that children are very keen on digital imagery. And the example I like to use is the movie Titanic, where a lot of digital stuff was used, and it was applauded as, you know, state of the art, and you couldn't tell that this was a scene that was really fake, mm-hmm. but looked real. But I've watched my children and other children, and they can watch that movie and go, real people, fake people, digital, not digital. They're that sharp, they're that sophisticated in what they understand about technology, that that's part of why we've gone with paintings. We don't want there to be a question about photography either, so that you go, is it real or is it Memorex? You're not confused because you can't trust that.
Well, in my eye and your eye don't pick that up because we were raised in an age where we're still mystified by this stuff. But these kids have a more sensitive eye to those kind of things. Let's talk about the involvement of the pastor in the Sunday school life of a church. I think a lot of pastors just think it's wind up and go. You know, the teachers, they got their preparation material, let somebody do that. How involved should a pastor be in the Sunday school life of the church?
I think a pastor's involvement is key. It's critical to the Sunday school accomplishing the goal of preaching Christ, teaching Christ to the children. I think pastors need to be involved before the first class is taught in the fall, involved in helping select the curriculum that you use, to look it over. Is it faithful to what we believe, teach, and confess? Is the material faithful in what it says and also in what it doesn't say? And the way we speak about the faith, does that come out? The pastor is really the expert theologically in your parish, besides being the spiritual leader, the one responsible for what all of us are taught in a parish. So he should be involved in that, in the training of teachers. And I think he needs to be visible. If he can't do the openings every week, maybe he does them once a month. Maybe he leaves his Bible class early to come and visit a class. He's got to be there. The kids need to know him and his involvement.
When it comes to this new curriculum, Growing in Christ, bottom line, what makes this different than everything else we've talked about here by way of the misguided goals and some of the real faults historically of Sunday school curriculum? What makes Growing in Christ different?
I think Growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ, and every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures. For us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them. And that's really key and central to growing in Christ, the Sunday school.
Folks, you can view online samples and listen to some music clips from Growing in Christ at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040 and ask for information on growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Well, this is serious business. This is dead serious. I mean, this is a matter of life and death. I don't know that we think about it that way. You know, you get the kids to school, you get them all dippity-dooed up, and then you send them off to Sunday school down the hallway and hope that, well, you hope that they're getting something there, or at least when they come back, they haven't got glue in their hair or on their new clothes. This is serious business. These are our children. The primary reason God has given them to us as parents is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to raise them not only as our own children, but as children of God in His Word from that baptism they received when they were first brought into this world and into God's family. It's not about entertainment or gimmicks or tricks. And you can teach kids theology. You got to remember how old they are and what words they can understand, but you can teach them God's Word. And you start with it simply. And it is about biblical literacy, about teaching them the who, what, when, and where of Bible, but also the why. And the why is connected to this who, the real who of Scripture. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures, and this could apply to any adult studying the Bible, but think about your kids in Sunday school. You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. You know, if our kid comes out of Sunday school and he hasn't found what Jesus says should be found there, these are the Scriptures that testify of me. If he hasn't been shown Jesus from those Scriptures, you've wasted your kid's time. You've wasted everybody's time. The sad thing is a lot of this finds its way into the way that adult Christians are taught as well. So where does it begin? It begins with giving them God's Word, law and gospel, showing them their sin and their Savior every week through the whole counsel of God, be it Old Testament or New Testament, all the Bible stories there that really did happen, all pointing forward, David and all those people pointing forward to David's greater son, our Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. These are the Scriptures that testify of me, he says, even for our children. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.